You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 123. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the still kind of sweaty, John Brownstone.
Yeah.
And I have a confession to make.
Okay.
This is our second try on recording this damn intro.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the original conversation and the original intro happened in London.
Right.
Which was fucking awesome.
It was.
And then later I realized I fucked it all up.
Bloody hell, it was cold over there, though.
It was cold. It snowed on us.
Yes, it did.
More about that later. This week's episode is a recording of a conversation we had in London after a great first day at Eroticon, so yay for that.
Uh-huh.
We finished up our day. Well, it wasn't really the end of our day, but it was the end of our, like, working day. With a conversation with our amazing and very kinky friend, Amy of Coffee and Kink. Kink, right? Because, yes, of course, one of our friends calls herself Coffee and Kink.
Kink.
That's
right?
The site she runs, Coffee and Kink. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education. Show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, or on Instagram at that handle I hate, LovingDS and the number one. LovingDS1. And we're doing more over on Instagram, so if you are on Instagram, it's probably a good place to catch us.
Yep.
All links are in the show notes. So we had to record this twice for a few reasons. I would not hurt my feelings if you ever made an outtake of how we could not record it the first time because Amy and I could not stop giggling.
I know.
Like, I've never giggled before. I've always been pretty composed before we start doing this. And with her sitting there and us huddled around the mic in the hotel room, I could not stop giggling.
No, you couldn't. It was hilarious.
Right. And then the other reason we had to re-record this is because I had kind of an idea of what topics we might touch on. And then you'll hear later in the episode where I go, oh crap, I forgot to add a content warning. Guess what? This is me adding the content warning. We do very briefly, but very kind of lightly touch on abuse.
Yeah.
So if this is not a good day for you, this might just come back to us when you're having a better day. She doesn't get too terribly much into the details, but it is something that is mentioned. It is something lightly discussed. So take care of yourself as best you need
right.
to. We totally get it. And as always, we will have a bonus section of just the two of us. Amy's not in that. I would like to think our conversation was kind of just a gigantic bonus section. But if you're like, ooh, I can't listen to this today, not even a mention, you can always fast forward to the last 15 minutes and ta-da, there will be a bonus section. So there's always that.
That's true.
And then the other reason we had to re-record, man, I'm going to blame the jet lag. I was giving announcements for March 24th, a full week before this episode would even come out. So that was no good either.
So were you behind or of yourself or ahead of yourself?
I had forgotten that numbers are hard for me, even the numbers on the calendar. And so therefore, I don't know what the hell happened, except that I was tired. So one of the announcements that is still technically good, though, that I gave in the original recording of the intro that will kind of give now is, oh, you're having problems with the website or your podcast app? Yeah, we know. But in the bonus section, we'll give yet another update.
Right.
So if you are brand new to this, oh, I'm so sorry. And if you've been around for a while, hopefully you've either seen the emails or the Instagram stories or the Twitter. The tweets on Twitter. Wow.
We may be doing this a third time.
No, this, just leaving it in. We're just going with it. So we'll talk about that later. So yeah, the organic exuberance of my first intro is lost to the ether because it was filled with
stuff. Saving it.
Well, maybe it'll be in a blooper reel one day.
Yeah.
Because I was so excited to have Amy there with us. We were in the hotel room. We all had our coffee. It was freaking amazing. The conversation was good.
And, you know, we are even more kindred spirits because she liked white chocolate mocha.
I know. I think we sold her on that.
Yeah.
I know. And we shared an Uber in the snow. Like, we had a good time.
Yes.
So hopefully you will hear that and get that from this conversation. We just sort of want to introduce you to different people who do their kink differently. She mm-hmm. is not just a kinkster and poly and a swinger, if I'm remembering all of it correctly. Mm-hmm. She's also a fantastic writer and sex toy reviewer.
Yes.
And we'll have links to her blog post in the show notes. And just the other day, right before I'm recording this, right before this episode comes out, her somebody that she is close to wrote a guest blog post for her website that was so powerful and moving, I literally just sat there and couldn't speak.
Oh my gosh, that was incredible. So I read that too.
I'm going to link to that in the show notes page. It's definitely worth a read.
I read that. It was just so good. I was at a loss for words.
I know. And it's one of those things that's, you know, as somebody who is a talker, not everything really needs a response.
Yeah.
But you want to almost respond to it to sort of mark the moment that you saw this and it was powerful and meaningful. Mm-hmm. So I said a little something, you know, nothing much, because there's nothing I can add to it. It was not meant for me to add to it.
No.
It was meant for me to consume and take in and let it affect me in whatever way it was going to.
Yeah.
And I just think more people need to read it. So that will be in the show notes as well.
Good.
So cool. I'm going to stop talking and let our recording of our conversation with Amy of Coffee and Kink, whom we adore,
yep,
take over, and hope you guys enjoy.
And away we go.
And away we go. And
dun, dun, dun.
Oh, goodness. So anybody who thought, oh, they're recording in London, we have gotten away from John Brownstone's awful creaking chair.
Wrong.
Hold that thought. And if that sounded like a few people fucking, it does to us too. So I figure that's a perfect way to roll into somebody who's got a site called Coffee and Kink with some sex noises and an annoying chair. And that is my chair, y'all. And y'all know I get jumpy and bouncy. So if you hear the sex having sounds, that's me. I'm so sorry. If the audio seems a little different, that is because we're in a hotel room all huddled around a mic. So the conversation is too good not to have. Please forgive us for any sound quality issues that might happen as we record in a completely different environment. Okay, so I've said that you're amazing and kinky and you're Amy of Coffee and Kink, but that's like just the tip of the iceberg. Please, please, please tell the lovely, loving BDSM people who you are, what you do, your thing. There you go.
Okay. Hi. I'm really excited to be doing this because, yeah, I've been a big fangirl for a long time and I was like, oh my God, they want me to be on the show. This is so exciting. yes. So my name is Amy Norton. I run a blog called Coffee and Kink, which is coffeeandkink.me. I'm sure Kayla will put the link in the show notes. I do various things. I do erotic fiction occasionally. I do sex toy reviews. I promised myself I wasn't going to do sex toy reviews, and now I do sex toy reviews. It's fine. and I do personal essays. I do advice pieces. Generally, anything kind of related or adjacent to sex, kink, BDSM, porn, smut, feminism. Yeah, all of that stuff. Sex positivity, really, if it falls under that category, I'll probably do it at some point.
And that is part of why we like you.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, we like you for a lot of reasons. The coffee thing, just for the record, we are all sitting
we
here.
We have coffee.
Yes, we have coffee.
With coffee.
Yes, Starbucks.
Starbucks coffee. We went there in the snow. Did I mention it was snowing here?
Welcome to England.
Oh,
we
God. I tried to pack Florida weather. I tried to, like, put it in my suitcase and just
bring with. Yeah.
I mean, I did bring an umbrella. So I've been here before. I know how it gets wet here. Apparently it now snows here.
Yeah.
What the hell? So let's start with the blogging part because as a blogger, sorry y'all, we're going to talk blogging because that's my jam.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
Right, exactly. Hashtag sorry, not sorry. So because I'm curious, how long have, it feels like you've been around forever because I feel like I've known you forever, but I know that's not really true. How long have you been blogging?
I've been blogging for about 15 months.
Okay.
I started New Year's Eve of 2016 going into 2017.
What made you want to, like, I'll do this thing, let me do this thing?
Yeah, so I was writing kind of articles and think pieces and bits and bobs, occasional anti-Fifty Shades snark on FetLife, and it was getting attention, and a couple of times I wrote a piece that then went a bit viral on there. And I just thought that why not put them somewhere else where more people could read it, where people who weren't on FetLife necessarily could find and read this stuff. And I didn't know what I was doing. I just kind of grabbed a free WordPress blog and kind of went for it. And I remember we were spending New Year's Eve at home because we're boring and old, my partner was working, and he came back quite late, and I'd been writing, and I put my first post up, and I was like, hey babe, I started a sex blog.
Yes, that is awesome.
He was just like, okay.
Yeah, what do you say to that, quite frankly?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if he had had a lot to say, I might have been more concerned. Like, you've been thinking about this, have you? So how does your... Let's back up. You said partner. Do you mind sharing with everybody? Because part of the title is kink. How do you identify? How are your relations set up? What are your kinks? All of that good stuff.
Oh, all of the things.
Okay. All of the things.
Yeah. So I am a kinkster, as the name implies. I'm a switch. I'm probably, like, in practice about 80% sub-bottom and about 20% dom-top. Sometimes it varies, but that's kind of roughly how it tends to play out. My primary partner, who is known as Mr. CK on the blog, because I couldn't think of an amusing name for him.
Totally works. I like that, Mr. CK.
Yeah, it works well. He and I live together, and he is a switch as well, but he's about 80% dom and about 20% bottom. So it works really well. We have a switchy relationship, but in practice, most of the time I'm in the submissive role and he's in the top role, which is great. But we don't have a 24/7 DS relationship. We have a very, I want to say egalitarian kind of relationship. We don't relate to each other as dom and sub most of the time outside of kinky fuckery and occasional. Yes, I've stolen kinky fuckery from Mihaela because it's perfect.
You may have kinky fuckery. It is for everybody.
I will spread the word of kinky fuckery. yeah, so that's how it works with us. I have been in a 24/7 DS relationship. I was in one for about a year and a half. It was an experience I'm glad I had and I'm not inclined to repeat. Mm-hmm. There were good things about it. Ultimately, found it wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. Much respect to people who can do it. I couldn't. Yeah, and we're poly, so we have other partners, and we're swingers, and basically I'm just a massive slut. It's great.
But you're a slut in the best possible way. Like, there shouldn't be a bad definition of slut, but if there can be, like, the best possible definition of slut, I'm going with the I'm kinky, I'm poly, and I'm a swinger. I'm having all the sex I want when I want it, in the way that I want it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm also bisexual, so you know.
Oh my gosh!
Bi, poly, switch, swinger. I'm basically every definition of greedy under the sun. It's great.
I think it's the best kind of greedy. If you've got to be greedy, God, be greedy about sex with consenting partners.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That's, yeah. Oh, what's the deadly sin? The sloth? Is it sloth I'm thinking of?
Slothiness.
No, there's. No. I'm not really. Y'all know I'm going to hell. We'll all have fun when we get there.
Lust.
Well, not lust. It's the one where it's about being greedy and you have, like, I'm thinking of the movie.
Oh, gluttony.
Gluttony. Yes. See, I don't know. Gluttony, yes. But in a really cool way, I kind of like that. I kind of like that. So.
Well, actually, I did go to a really awesome Seven Deadly Sins themed kink party a while ago.
Okay.
And there was like zones set up for each sin. So Wrath was like the dungeon, where it's like beat your sub, and Sloth was the hot tub, and Gluttony was like food play, and it was amazing. Oh, it was amazing.
I like my new definition of gluttony. All the sex, just have all the sex. Mm-hmm. So okay, are you with? Do you have? So you have to educate me because I'm still learning the poly stuff. So you have your primary partner.
Yes.
So then, do you have? Are they secondary partners? Is that the term? Like, is there a term?
Yeah, some people don't like the term secondary partners. Okay. I'm fine with it. My polycule, as we call ourselves, are fine with it. Mm-hmm. Some people prefer, like, non-primary or non-nesting partner or whatever.
Okay.
But yeah, so I have a secondary partner who I see every few weeks, who also has a live-in primary partner.
Okay.
Who was one of my best friends, which is really great. We just clicked really fast, which is lovely.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been seeing them for about a year and a half at this point.
Okay.
And then I have a couple of casual partners as well. I have a casual sweetie here in London who I see a couple of times a year, and I have a couple that I've been unicorning for like 10 years at this point.
Oh wow. I don't know if after 10 years can you really be a unicorn anymore.
I think it's 9 years actually at this point, but yeah. Yeah, I'm still
that's pretty still awesome though. I know. I'm such a cynic. I'm like, I'm never gonna find a unicorn, so I'm not gonna go looking for a unicorn. not even worth it.
They didn't really go looking for me. They just kind of pulled me at a sex party, and I just never really left.
Oh wow!
Oh wow!
I don't even have a proper response, because like in social situations, you know what to say when somebody says, here, this is my one partner, or, oh, this is a thing I like. But when it's like, I have this person and that person, it's fascinating, but I'm not sure what the social niceties are. like, is congratulations the right word, or is, oh, that sounds so cool. I don't know, because I don't want to be a creeper either. That would
fine.
Not be fun.
I don't mind. Okay. I get everything from, oh my god, that's so fucking cool, to, ah, no, that's terrible, that's so immoral, how could you do that?
Now, you do have, clearly, a large network of people, and it's got to work for everybody. So we know you, so we know that communication is important to you, but how do you maneuver through all of that?
The short answer is carefully. So me and Mr. CK, when we got together, very much... we established early on that we both kind of wanted the same thing, which was a very solid, committed, ultimately living together kind of relationship. I mean, we're not legally married, but we are in all but law. Mm-hmm. But then we wanted to have relationships with other people as well, both kind of casual things and more committed things. Mm-hmm. And we spent a lot of time, like many, many, many hours over the course of, really, the course of the entirety of our relationship, because it's shifting all the time,
right.
Coming up with our boundaries and negotiating our agreements and hashing out exactly kind of what would be okay, what wasn't, what might be okay at some point but not right now, and all of those different things.
Mm-hmm.
And it does change, and it's fluid, and something that maybe wasn't okay, you know, 3 months ago might be okay now, and sometimes we take a step back from things if we need to just kind of regroup a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just about being really open, really. Mm-hmm. And I will only go out with people who are very, very, very strong communicators.
Mm.
Because I need that in my relationships. I need people who I know will be honest with me about where they're at. I need people who I can talk to about what's going on with me, and knowing that I won't get judgment for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And luckily, all of my partners currently are kind of very much in that category and are very strong on communication as well. So that's kind of how it works.
Okay. It sounds like there's a lot of core similarities to like our DS
sure.
relationship. I mean, even though it's just her and I.
And it's a power exchange.
A power exchange, the communication, the setting boundaries, different things.
It's
an ongoing
thing. It's never a stop and start. It's
yeah.
you're right. constantly doing it.
That's
so,
exactly it. It's very similar in that way.
Yeah.
When you meet new people, in order to determine if they're a good communicator, is it that you... How do you do that? I mean, I can imagine how I would do it, but that's... How do you sort of figure out you're somebody worth pursuing because you're a good communicator, or is it that sometimes you get involved on a more lustful level and then you go, oh, you're not very good. How do you balance that so you find that right person?
It really depends what I'm looking for. When it comes to the really casual kind of swinging stuff, it's less important that I don't have to connect with them on such a deep level, and we don't necessarily have to have that level of communication, but and not the same level that I would have with a more committed partner. But still, I mean, at the very least, I have to know that I have to feel safe in the knowledge that they'll be honest with me about where they're at. They'll be honest mm-hmm. with me about consent. They'll be honest with me about safer sex and risk practices and all of that stuff. And usually I found at this point you can get that vibe from people really fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for our swinging side of things, we go to clubs, but most of the people we play with, we meet them online.
Mm, okay.
And we find you can get a really strong sense of how communicative people are really quickly. Like if we sort of connect with someone, but then we're getting like monosyllabic responses to
yes,
trying
well,
to start a conversation, we'll just go, okay, mm-hmm. that's not going to work.
Right, exactly.
And we usually, or almost always, if we've met someone online who we think we might want to play with, we'll meet up with them for just like a social, go for a drink, have dinner, no expectations,
mm-hmm.
And see what happens and see how we get on. We can usually get that sense kind of pretty quickly of like, Are they communicative enough for us to feel safe going into a sexy space with them?
Right.
For more serious things, it's a little bit different. And I tend to kind of try and move quite slowly in that regard, to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm very much a, like, heart on my sleeve, fall in love in 5 seconds kind of person. And I've really tried to rein that in a lot because it's got me into a lot of trouble. We were talking on the way over here about my, my terrible taste in men prior to current partners. Yeah, and my runaway heart has got me into a lot of trouble in the past. So now I try and take things slowly and kind of, you know, always go on a very sort of platonic date or two with someone before things really get any further, and try and sort of communicate with them in the interim, chat online or on text or whatever, and get that real sense of who they are before diving into anything. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That was a very long answer, but
no, that was a complete answer. That's what I like. So I'm, because I'm nosy, and you might have told me, but you didn't tell me in front of a microphone, so it's okay for repeating stories. And I can pretend that, oh yeah, I totally heard that before. How did you meet Mr. CK?
We were friends for about 3.5 years before we started dating. We actually met at a polyamory conference.
I love that there's a poly conference.
Yeah, well, there isn't anymore. It's really sad. It was a thing that it ran for like 4 years, I think. I only went twice. It was called OpenCon. And it was, I mean, it was kind of polyamory, non-monogamy, all of that sort of stuff.
Sure.
That was in Dorset. Yeah, sadly it is no more because it was a great event, but, we met there in, 2012. No, we met in 2011. We properly became friends in 2012. Yeah, and we just kind of stayed in casual contact, saw each other very occasionally, and yeah, then... in 2014, there was a day when I was going on me and my boyfriend at the time and his wife and a couple of others were going on this outing to like a museum, and then we were going to get afternoon tea or something. And for some reason that I don't even remember why it was at the time now, Mr. and I, who obviously wasn't Mr. CK then, but he and I were talking online, and I said, oh, I haven't seen you for ages. We're going on this day trip. Come down and join us. And he did. And we hung out and it was fine. And then later on, he ended up coming back to my house and we just spent like 3 hours talking.
Oh, that's, and I love that.
Talking about a lot of like quite personal and quite in-depth stuff.
Yes.
And then he asked me if I wanted to cuddle.
Aww.
Yeah. And cuddling happened. And then I got scared because, I was in a situation at that time with my now ex, where I wasn't allowed to date anyone else, despite us being in an ostensibly poly relationship.
Yes, I hear about those a lot.
It wasn't the best. I don't recommend it.
No.
So I got scared and pulled away and went, ah, no. And nothing more was said. Yeah, and then several months later, we ended up chatting online again, and then we just kind of, for some reason, just one day we were talking, and then we kept talking, and then we kept talking, and then we kept talking, and then we were like, oh shit, we're falling in love with each other.
Aww.
This is going to be a clusterfuck.
These things usually are.
Yeah. Yeah. So I asked the ex, and the ex said no, and lost his shit at me, and things went very badly. And I tried to maintain that relationship because I've been with him for 5.5 years and I felt like I should.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of very bad things in that relationship prior to anyone else being involved. And yeah, I left in the end. I couldn't handle it.
And I am so happy you did. Now, I will ask, and I will link to this in the show notes. You wrote a guest post for me on KaylaLords.com.
I did, after I met you last year.
I know.
Right?
Yes. And it was about BDSM and abuse and those kinds of things.
Yes.
Was this that person?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes, same person. It was a very, very bad relationship. But it took me falling in love with someone else who actually treated me well to realize that actually wasn't normal and I deserved better.
Right.
So I dumped him and invited Mr. to come and see me, and he was in my bed 8 hours later.
Oh, I love that. That part I love.
It was a good day.
And I, you know, I would imagine, especially because you had this other relationship that things were not going well, and even if you thought, well, maybe this is how it's supposed to be, there had to have been some part of you went, this can't be okay. But to see, oh wait, this can be great. Look how great this makes you feel. That must have almost been maybe refreshing.
Yeah.
Sort of like a weight. I mean, other than the stress that you were going to have to go through, I cannot possibly imagine the ending of that relationship and the dealing with that. But to finally connect with somebody who's like, here, I'm going to talk to you and I'm going to treat you well and you're going to feel good in my presence. Like, that's That's a feeling that cannot possibly be truly described.
No, it was just, the difference was absolutely astonishing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the day after we kind of officially got together, we went out to a rope workshop in the town where I was living at the time and saw lots of my friends there. And they all just said to me afterwards, "You are so different." Mm-hmm. It's been like 24 hours and you are so different.
Oh, wow.
Without him, mm-hmm. and with this new person. And it was, I mean, I'm a different person. I am a completely different person. And it was amazing. Mm-hmm. The weightlifting is right. After we split up, I ended up reconnecting with another woman that he'd been with before and split up with. Gotcha. And she described it as being in that relationship was like having rocks in the ceiling that were going to fall on your head any moment.
Oh, gosh.
And getting out is like, that's gone.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was what it was.
It's like a breath of fresh air.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that's what it's like being with someone who treats you well after you've been with someone who is abusive. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of astonishing. And yeah, there's a piece I wrote on FetLife that I've never actually published on the blog, but I might, mm-hmm. That was called My Game Changer. And mm-hmm. it was about that whole story. So I might publish that at some point.
I think you should.
Yeah.
Totally for that.
Yeah. He's pretty special. It's been like 3 years at this point. He's pretty special.
Yeah. Yes. Y'all cannot see her cheesy grin, but I can see her cheesy grin.
It's
If y'all think I have cheesy grins, no. I haven't met Mr. CK, and I would still probably go, "Oh, I bet they're really cute together." You're really cute together. Yeah, she's just a little, you know.
Little bit cute.
You're like majorly cute, I'm sure of it. So, as much as you're comfortable talking about it, and I'm going to have to go back in and add a trigger warning. Sorry, y'all. Mm-hmm. I'll add it. You won't know. We won't edit this out because I'm awkward like that. a relationship was abusive. And so any abuse is awful. Was some of that abuse related to BDSM and your poly? Was that the control for, I mean?
It was very heavily related to the poly.
Okay.
In that for several years, there was the whole dynamic of me not being allowed to do anything with anyone else while he was allowed to do whatever with whoever. Mm. I mean, he was married. It was very clear I was only ever going to be secondary.
Gotcha.
And my thing, and I've written about this on the blog, is I am fine being secondary, mm-hmm. but I need to have my own primary. I need to have someone who is mm-hmm. that person who I come first with and they come first with me and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it was related to that. I don't think it was connected to the kink as such, but I think the kink exacerbated it. Mm. Looking back now, because actually the 24/7 DS dynamic, which was going on for about the last year and a half officially, quote unquote officially, that was my idea.
Oh, okay.
That was completely my idea. Mm-hmm. And looking back now, I think I was partly using it to justify some of the things that were going on.
Gotcha.
The way I've described it to people since is like, I mean, I mostly hang out with kinky people. Most of my friends are kinky. Mm-hmm. If you say to your friends, "I can't do X because my boyfriend won't let me," mm-hmm. you get like side eye.
Yeah, yes,
if you
do.
Say, "My master won't let me," they go, "Oh, yeah, okay, DS, you have to do what he says, that's fine."
Right.
I was definitely using that to justify a lot of it.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. There were good points. I mean, don't get me wrong. There were good points.
And
of course.
Isn't there? I mean, if there weren't some good points, you wouldn't have stayed in the beginning.
Yeah.
To begin with, yeah.
But I think the poly was very connected to it, and the kink didn't cause it, but exacerbated it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of kinks, because we got heavy, you know, I got to lighten this up just
a
little bit.
Yeah, let's lighten it up.
Okay.
That's good.
So you're, obviously, we've already said, submissive, switch, 80% submissive, mm-hmm. but you're a switch. And you're poly.
Yes.
And you're a swinger.
Yes.
Outside of that, which is plenty. What, if any, other specific kinks do you have? Like, what gets Amy of Coffee and Kink off?
Oh, gosh. Well, this is funny because actually my biggest single kink is orgasm control.
Oh, okay.
I wrote a guest post for this for Girl on the Net, and I called it "Getting Off on Not Getting Off." So that's a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Which actually, I started taking antidepressants, which stopped me being able to orgasm. Ask me how I discovered I have a denial kink.
Oh my gosh. Oh my
I'm
gosh.
Not even kidding. Genuinely, that's how I discovered it.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a big thing. Rope bondage, we do a lot of that. We've been kind of taking a few sort of classes and that kind of thing. In pipe play, hitty things.
Yes, we like the hitty things.
I have a very nice paddle in my bag that a certain Mr. John Brownstone has made for me.
With a purple handle.
Yes.
Of course.
Because that's how things should be.
I'm very excited to take it home and get it used on my butt.
All paddles do get a quality assurance test, so it has been safely across my ass as well.
Yes.
So I can vouch for it. I promise you. Oh my god.
I love it. Yeah, so that's probably the main things, really. Mm-hmm. And consensual non-consent occasionally, some of the kind of darker stuff.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
Okay. Do you scene or do you just sort of go with a moment because Mr. CK knows that you will do that, or whichever partner they know you will, so they just do it in the moment, or is that a planned, we'll plan this out and be prepared for it?
Kind of both, depending on the dynamic. I mean, the heavier, the really heavy stuff, we tend to plan at least a little bit. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not kind of really specifically planned out, it's just kind of, okay, this is a thing that we want to do, and we might do this
you
in this
know
way.
It could
and
happen.
We kind of know it could happen,
right,
and
right.
Yeah. But some of the kind of less heavy and intense stuff will just kind of happen sometimes. And because we know each other really well and we can read each other and we know that if one of us kind of starts something and the other's not up for it, we can say no and that's fine. And, so it's pretty fluid most of the time, really.
Well, and it sounds to me like it could be very easily, because if you're constantly communicating with one another, then you just literally can go with the flow because you know the other one, you have that trust that they're going to go, oh no, not today. This is not happening. And you know, that's the new thing I'm sort of having to learn about and talking about consent. We talk about it in very black and white terms, you know, and we need to, because for most people, they need to hear yes means yes, and consent is not the absence of a no, and it needs to be informed and enthusiastic consent. Mm-hmm. But in a relationship where you're constantly communicating, we don't stop and go, okay, let's get out the pencil and paper right here and negotiate this moment. We know each other well enough that if it doesn't feel okay, then I can say, that doesn't feel okay, I don't want to do this, and it's fine.
Yeah.
Or
right,
if he's like, oh, I want to try something and we've never done before, and he does it and he knows my reactions, he knows if it's a good one.
Yes.
So then you can sort of play with that. So it's a deeper level of consent.
Yes.
Where mm-hmm. you have to know each other and have that outer level of consent first, and you have to have the communication, but as you go through it, you're like, oh, we can play with all kinds of stuff because we have that trust.
Yeah.
Between each other.
And I don't really have that level with anyone else at this point. With other people I play with, it's much more kind of defined scenes of, okay, we're gonna negotiate how we're gonna play and then do that for this time and then stop and that's it.
Right.
But yeah, in a primary committed relationship where we know each other very, very well, it's fine. We can read each other and we know, we kind of know each other's signals and...
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And there's no fear if you have to say, oh no, this is not okay.
No, exactly. Exactly. And we know that, you know, if we need to use a safe word or just say, no, and that's an actual no, not a yes, more please, no.
Right. I think that's probably the most confusing, because sometimes I'm saying no, and I really mean come on,
bring it.
Right. For you, and that, because that's how you are. Now there was one time we were in a very, very intense scene, and you basically started speaking in tongues. Right?
And I had no memory.
and you were just like, more, and you're just babbling. I'm like, no, we are, this is it. We are stopping right now, because that was so far out of
your normal
range for you in a scene. Yes.
Yeah. And that's it. You know her tells and
exactly.
her signs, and that's exactly how
yes.
he is with me. And
it does give you more freedom to play.
Mm.
And I think, you know, I talk to a lot of submissives, especially, who that's what they desperately want, But they forget that you have to put the time in first. It takes time. You cannot just jump into that. It will, does not work that
no,
way.
No, it didn't happen like on the first date or even the 10th. It didn't happen for months. And you know, it's almost eased in with the kink, really.
Right, and it's almost a gradual thing. So you push it one time and go, okay, I'm going to try this thing. Oh, how did they react? Oh, that was positive. Okay, you file that away in your brain for the next time. And then you might go a while and you're like, oh, I want to try this. I know them better now, so maybe I can... Yeah, it's a process, very long process.
That's why they call it pushing boundaries. And I used to use the term for us, nudging.
Yes.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
You know, we would nudge boundaries because you would need a little nudge now and again. You know, you're not crashing boundaries. You're not crashing gates and just, you know, plowing through.
Sure.
Right. Exactly. So, if you cannot tell from listening to the amazing Amy of Coffee and Kink, she knows her kinky shit. And here's the coolest thing. And it was fascinating last year, because last year's Eroticon 2017, we met and we kind of had been, like, I realized you were out there and I kind of read a post here and there, but didn't really know you. And we get to know each other in London. And what I find out...
I just kept tweeting at you going, you're so great!
I know. And I was like...
You ever turned me on to Eroticon being a thing? Do you know that?
No, I had no idea.
It was genuinely, which is ridiculous because you live thousands of miles away and I live like 100 miles away.
I think you might be doing that wrong, but yeah, that is awesome. I had no idea.
Yeah. Hearing you talk about it on the blog and saying this is a thing that I'm going to go to, I went, oh, that is a thing that exists.
Oh, that is
idea.
So,
yes.
That is so cool. Okay, so then this works out even better.
Anyway,
so,
I think I cut you off, but I had to put that in.
Whatever. We cut each other off. You've heard the show. Y'all, Amy does listen to the show. And sometimes I will say things just for her.
Like lube. I can't do it because I don't have the amazing accent.
See, and I don't think I have an accent. That's a whole different topic. So here's a cool thing I learned about Amy last year. We're talking, I'm looking at you through the lens of baby blogger. Like, you just started your blog, even though I felt like you were already around. I just sort of, I think I was surprised at even then kind of how new you were, because we were talking online and you know, we were engaging with one another. So we're talking, I think it was at lunch or something. She's like, oh yeah, I organized this kink event. I organized that kink event. I'm like, wait, what? Because I will fully admit that I tend to think that people have sprung forth from the ground, fully formed at the point they start a blog. Like, they didn't exist before they had a blog. They didn't have a life before they had a blog. They have a blog. Oh, now you exist. I know. It's a problem. I'm working on it.
Well, this is an interesting thing, because Coffee and Kink was not my first blog.
And that actually doesn't surprise me, because now sex blog, Kayla Lords is my first sex blog, but it wasn't my first blog either.
Right. I had a blog specifically about polyamory several years ago.
That's right. Yeah. I remember that. Because I did think that you were really savvy for kind of a newer blogger to sort of know what questions to ask, to kind of know what you didn't know yet, and then to go, but I know this and I'm doing these things and does that work? And I was like, I think that might have been why I had that sort of impression that you've clearly been around for a while, but that makes... Then I remember that we talked about that.
Yeah, I mean, that blog is long gone, partly because a lot of it had to do with the relationship that I was in previously, so I took it all down in the end. But yeah, I wasn't new to blogging as such, and I have a master's degree in writing. I kind of, from the writing side, at least, I knew what I was doing. Even though, like,
and that is very obvious when we read. You are an excellent writer.
Thank you.
You're an excellent writer.
Thank you. Even though, like, the sex blogging specifically was very new, and I still feel very new. I mean, I look at people like you and people like Girl on the Net and Molly and Dangerous Lily and the States and people like that who've been doing it forever, and I just go, I'm never going to be that good. But
you are talent wise with writing. You're there. Do not worry about that. The rest, we all have literally learned through experience. We've all like gone out and done a thing and gone, I wonder if I can do this thing. And we did it. And we go, oh shit, that worked. And
trial by fire.
Right. And then sometimes we go, oh no, that did not work. Don't do that again.
Yeah. And I don't think I've made any huge glaring errors so far.
No.
But yeah.
I
think the worst error I made was waiting too long to go self-hosted.
And that is what, that happens to a lot of people. That really does people think, oh, I can't afford it, or it's not going to be worth the money that you have to put out for it. And they hold back, they hold back, they hold back. And then once you do, especially if you get help, the wonderful Dom Sides. I don't know if he helped you, but he helped me.
He's so good.
We love Dom Sides.
He's actually kind of helped me since then with some technical stuff. But when I was going self-hosted, it was a combination of Mr. CK and my secondary partner, who I refer to on the blog as the artist. They kind of helped me to, you know, figure out how to do it and find a adult-friendly hosting solution and all of that stuff.
Yes, it definitely pays to have help. Yeah. It doesn't matter who it is.
I think part of the reason I put it off so long is because the technical stuff scares me.
Yes, I married my IT guy. I don't know. I don't know. I can't really. And if Michael would let me, I'd marry him too because he's the new IT guy.
Well, I mean, he is Polly.
I know, but Molly likes me, but I don't know if she likes me that much. So you, like I said before, though, you do kink events. And so we have a lot, you know, we have a lot of listeners who are like, oh, I can't find a kink event, or I'm unsure about kink events, but you have made your own. So I want to start with why, because if there's a reason behind it, tell me. And then your experience with that and how in the kink community, and just share. Y'all can't see, but my chin is in my hands. Share.
Why? Because the event that we wanted didn't exist. So we created it.
See what I tell y'all? That's just create it for yourself.
Very good reason.
And also, I think there's probably a hefty dose of masochism in there. So I have a very good friend known as Phoenix, who is a kinkster and a rope educator and a disabled kink activist. And he's amazing and I adore him. And it was actually his idea. Mm-hmm. And he stepped down last year from the organizing team. But when he wrote his roundup, he said something like, I had this idea and Amy was the only one crazy enough to go, yeah, all right, I'm up with that. So we decided we wanted a weekend long educational kink event, specifically education focused, with a very heavy kind of ethos of feminism and informed consent and safety and all of that stuff that tends to get kind of forgotten, all the stuff that people tend to think is unsexy.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of did it. And it's been going ever since.
How many years?
This year will be our fifth.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're definitely not newbies at this at all.
No. And that was the biggest thing I've organized. Is the biggest thing I've organized, but it's not the only thing I've organized. I mean, I've done one day events for the kind of bi and pansexual community a few years ago, and I've done smaller kind of kink events and parties and all that kind of thing. So I think, apart from writing, events organizing is my passion.
Mm-hmm. It has to be, or you're a huge masochist.
Yeah. Well, I did write, this was actually one of the first posts I published on the blog. I did write a post that was called something like, The Reality of Events Organizing. And it was like, it's a lot of work and you can't please everyone.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There will always be people who will complain at you, and that's fine. And we know we're not perfect, and we want to hear the feedback. We want to hear what we're not doing well. And we know some of the things that we're not doing well, and we're trying to fix them.
Right, and then you can hopefully usually take that forward to the next year and go, okay, we can here's where we can tweak and make it a little bit better.
And it's got consistently better every year. But, I mean, there are some things that are very hard to fix because they're venue issues.
Right, yeah.
And we don't have a huge choice of venue, especially because our list of things that we needed to have are pretty long, really. So,
right. Now, we find this in the States a lot, when you go to plan a kinky event, some places, the moment you sort of explain to them kind of what you're doing, they go, oh no, not here, not in our venue. Has that happened to...
Well, we just went to swing clubs straight away.
Oh, there you go.
We just immediately... actually, no, that's not entirely true. Initially, we went to a kink club. We went to a kink-specific venue.
Mm-hmm.
But they then ended up shutting down for various reasons. The owners had some problems, and they ended up shutting down 2 months before our event.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
But then when we were looking for a replacement venue, we went to swing clubs because we knew they'd be okay with it. And also we know that it's legal.
Right.
Because I don't fully understand all the licensing laws in the UK, but they're licensed for adult events and sexual activity and all of that stuff on their premises. Mm-hmm. So we knew that it was fine.
It would be okay.
Really. So that's just what we went for. And they're obviously chill about what we're getting
up right. to. Yeah, they but really wouldn't care.
You can't very well go and do it in a hotel or a conference center.
Well, in America you can, but man, you're going to jump through some hoops sometimes.
Yeah.
And they will cancel on you at the last minute right. if they yeah. find out. Oh,
there
God,
there used
awful.
To be one event that was held at a local hotel
mm-hmm.
Once a month. And what they had to do was when the event was being held, they would actually go through and, like, on the upper balcony, they would tape up black plastic
sheets. So people couldn't look over.
So people mm-hmm. couldn't look over.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that makes sense, but, yeah.
It's a lot to go
it's
through.
It's difficult. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really difficult mm-hmm. to find venues and a lot of, you know, I mean... The thing I found that is interesting mm-hmm. is a lot of swingers don't like kinksters.
I have heard that. I've not yes. experienced it, but I have heard that.
Yeah. Me and Mr. CK are actually quite unusual in being both.
Mm-hmm.
Usually people are... I mean, this is true with swing and poly,
mm-hmm.
that most people who do it are one or the other, but not both.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also very true with swing and kink.
Okay.
There's a lot of... I mean, we're on, like, swinger dating sites and all that stuff, and there's a lot of... people who are actually quite judgmental about it. Like, you'll see, like, nice comments like, no freaky stuff, like pain or anything. And it's like, okay, you're not into it, that's fine, but you don't have to, like, call it freaky.
Right.
Yeah.
The implication is that it's, like, this weird, gross thing you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, they
that.
Don't quite understand the concept of your kink is not my kink, but your kink is okay.
No,
yeah.
And yet they're okay. swingers.
Right.
Yeah.
Cognitive dissonance, like,
yeah.
right there. I don't
mm-hmm.
get that.
So that's been a problem from... finding venues for events, but it's also been a problem from the perspective of going to events. And there's a club that we go to that has like four kink events a year that we love. We always go. There's mm-hmm. one next week, actually, which
oh,
is quite exciting.
Yay.
But it's also a swing club, and we went to our first swing night there after having been to a few of the kink events. And the owner knows met us, and he's just like, "Don't scare my regulars.
Oh no!
Don't do the kinky shit and scare my regulars."
Oh my gosh!
And we were like, "Oh, okay."
Oh. I know. I'd be like, well, if I can't play the way I want to play, I don't want to play in your sandbox.
Like, yeah. We just went in a private room and shut the door.
There you go.
It was fine. What was really funny, though, was later that night, we were in one of the... they're like private rooms, but if you leave the door open, it means that people can come in and watch if they want.
Okay.
So we left the door open and we went in and started doing rope. And this little, we ended up with this little like gaggle of very vanilla swingers sitting around us going, like with their jaws on the floor. going, oh my God.
Do you think you converted any of them? Brought
well,
them to the dark side?
At least one of them was very intrigued.
That's
so
awesome.
I hope so. I hope they went
yes.
out and bought rope.
I mean,
yes.
I would think. On the spectrum of things, rope is kind of not that extreme.
Well, that's it. It's,
yeah.
it's people understand it. Like, you rope and spanking, people can kind of get behind.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mention fire play in front of them.
Oh, my gosh. Don't scare the vanillas.
I think I need that on a t-shirt.
Right.
The
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so from the kink... event organizer. So to me, that makes you a leader in a community because you do not organize an event to educate others without that. You're trying to help people on some level.
Oh, yeah. I mean
that's
absolutely
the point.
Yeah.
So,
we want people to learn the skills and learn that, you know, both kind of the practical techniques and also kind of the communication and all of that stuff to
right.
be safe, responsible, mm-hmm. consensual kinksters.
Right, because it helps them and it helps the overall
yeah.
community. So from that perspective, I know just from having conversations how people can have these light bulb moments and realize, oh, maybe I haven't been doing that right all along. Here's a new way. Or, oh, God, I thought there was something wrong with me. And, oh, I found a thing. And anytime somebody messages me and says, you were right. I finally went to a munch. You were right. Let's all start. I love those words. My favorite words. I went to a munch and it was great. Like, I had this experience. Did you sort of see that? Do you have people who maybe came that first time and were like, I'm here, but I don't know what I'm doing here? Did you get to sort of watch any of those sort of transformations? Did that sort of happen in real time?
Yeah, it did. And we actually weren't expecting that because we didn't think that people who were brand new would come to a whole weekend.
Mm.
We expected everyone would have a little bit of experience. And most people do. Most people have kind of been on the scene, been around for a while. But yeah, we did get a few people who said, this is my first ever event. And you get
wow.
to kind of watch...
Mm-hmm.
that development, and that's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been kind of on the public scene for years. Not so much where I live now, simply because there isn't a Munch within 20 miles of us. But there used to be one, where, there were several where I used to live. And yeah, you would see people come in and be brand new, and then they kind of start going to events, and you got to see that development, and it was really cool to see that. I loved that.
They grow as a kinkster. They grow as a person. I've always noticed they grow in their kink, and they learn different things, and they see different perspectives, and they realize, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one.
That's it, exactly.
And then I've always found they tend to grow as human beings. Mm-hmm. Like, wait, if this thing is cool and look, and I'm not alone, and look what I can do with it, then it just sort of expands all horizons all the way across.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. It's like once you gain confidence in the fact that you can beat your submissive consensually, you're like, you know what? I can quit that shitty job too. Go to something better. You know, it's sort of amazing. So I'm just saying everybody should go to a Munch. I guess that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah. Go to a Munch.
Go to a
workshop.
Yes.
Just go and meet your people.
We go. I think it's a perfect place to end. Go and meet your people.
Yes.
I have met my people by coming all the way to freaking London.
Yeah.
And now, a year later...
We're trying to get her to move here. Sorry, America.
Well, you
have... She's ours now.
You would have to fight my mother for that, and nobody wins against the mom. I say as a mom, nobody wins against the mom. It's just... We have totally thought about it, though. Y'all have... Y'all, in such a small little country, relative to the States, you have so much kink stuff. Like, I would just come... I've come for a couple months just to go to all your damn kink events.
Yes.
Yeah.
Y'all, okay, you might be able to tell me better because I've only ever seen online. There's an entire, fetish street market that happens, I think, in London every so often, right? Like, it's just, this fetish market. It's like a flea market, y'all, but it's fetish.
Yeah, it's not a street market. It's a venue.
Is it a venue? Okay.
There's two in London.
Okay.
There's a LAM, which is the London Alternative Market.
Okay.
And there's LFF, which is the London Fetish Fair.
That's the one I've heard of. Okay, I've heard of that one.
And there's also one in Birmingham in the Midlands, which is called the BBB, the Birmingham Bizarre Bazaar.
Ah, I like that.
And then they're exactly that. They're like markets in the daytime, and different vendors come and sell their stuff, and you can try out toys, and sometimes there's workshops and all that kind of thing as well, or like fashion shows and that kind of thing. I don't go too often because I spend a lot of money.
I would be broke.
Well,
I would be so poor.
Ask me about the time I accidentally bought a corset at one.
Oh no.
And it was a good corset, to be fair. I still have it. It was an investment.
If it was a good corset, it was a financial investment.
It was a good corset.
Oh my gosh.
And then usually they have like a play event in the evening. They usually kind of the tamer end of play events, usually can't have sex or anything.
Sure, yeah.
You can do kind of rope and impact and all that sort of thing. So yeah, they're good. They're good fun events. And they're actually really nice for beginners.
Right. Oh yeah.
You can see loads of stuff, and there's no kind of pressure to play if you want to just go to the market and look at the stuff. And the vendors are usually really kind of passionate and knowledgeable about their thing. And I recommend it if there is one in your area.
There's not. Well, there are certainly not in our area. And I would all love to know if there's. Maybe over in California. Maybe in New York.
I was going to say the only one I have heard that comes close is actually out in San Francisco.
And that doesn't surprise me.
That's entirely unsurprising.
Right, exactly.
Right.
But there's also a kinky cafe in San Francisco.
That does not surprise me.
I've been there. It's great.
Really?
It's called, you'll like this, it's a pun. It's called Wicked Grounds.
Oh my gosh, the puns.
It's great. I went with my best friend who was mostly vanilla.
I like that. I do want to say, y'all, before we even turned on the mic, there were puns flying.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Between, not me, y'all. Y'all know, not me. I was out of it. I was chagrined. I was hiding. Well, I can't hide under this bed, but I was trying to get away from the puns. They were still flying.
Sorry.
There's a part of me that if life circumstances were different, I would come over to England. I would not live in London. I have enjoyed visiting it, but I would not live here.
No,
in London.
I couldn't live in London.
No,
I'm not a city boy.
It is fascinating to watch, except you can't really people watch because then you get looked at like you're crazy. I had to tell John Brownstone he could not just randomly stare at people and say hi like friendly Americans do. It's a culture shock. So we have loved having you on.
Yes.
That was so fun.
Our bonus section is actually going to get recorded later. Y'all, there's a bonus section, don't worry. But
cool. Cricket crew.
I know. Yeah, and Amy is in the cricket crew.
I have the coffee as my love language mug and everything.
I think we're our first sale on Redbubble.
Really?
I think you were our first sale.
Yeah. And I bought two because I bought one for the artist as well because we kind of, our relationship began over coffee.
As all good relationships should. Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. Okay, of your caffeinated beverage of choice, I can hear my tea drinkers out there. No! It's not all about coffee. I know.
It is.
It is all about coffee, though. I am also a tea drinker, though, and I started out as a tea drinker. The coffee thing is all John Brownstone's fault.
I converted her.
He did. And then got mad when I got addicted to it and needed it to function. I don't understand.
You took the addiction to a whole new level.
I take everything I do to a whole new level.
Yes, you do.
That's totally on brand. That is what I do.
Yeah.
So,
how many websites and podcasts do you have now?
Three podcasts and four websites. Mm-hmm. And it's only because I'm not allowed to manage John Brownstone's personal site, or it would be five. I have to keep hands off on that one.
Fair.
Yeah. Right. So we have absolutely loved having you on our show.
Fun.
This is awesome. You are our first official conversation. We do not call these interviews. Y'all, you know, we don't do anything like anybody else. We are not doing interviews. We're having conversations.
We sat around over a cup of coffee.
We didn't even really know what we wanted to talk about, so we turned the mic on because that's totally us too.
Yeah.
So we are so happy that you came. We are going to end the show, but y'all know, wait a couple seconds if you want to hear the bonus section. We got that too. Mm-hmm. We're cool. Follow Amy. All her links are in the show notes page, okay? If you follow us on Twitter, you will see Amy because we tweeted each other all the time. Follow her, okay?
Yes, please.
I'm going to put my dominant energy on. Tell y'all.
Look out, folks.
Follow her. She's awesome, and we love her. And I love the fact that you're our first conversation. So
yes.
That is so
me
cool.
Too. Yay.
Okay, y'all.
Ready?
No, vaguely.
Vaguely.
I was trying to take a breath there, so I guess I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
And we keep all this in. We don't edit shit, do we?
No, we don't. No.
I'm so excited I get to do this.
All right.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all.
And we'll see you next week.
Daddy. I'm so confused. I don't know what to do. Are we recording? Are we not recording? Are we talking to crickets? Are we not talking to crickets? Ah!
Wow.
And I have had no coffee today.
No,
I just,
you haven't.
Not
that's
at
just,
all
that's
today.
That's really scary. All right, baby girl. The crickets have been waiting several weeks for this.
They have.
You have been stomping at the bit for this.
I know. I don't like not being able to talk to my people. It's like really bothers me. So I'm going
to talk to the crickets, baby.
Okay, I'm going
to
start with a postcard.
Yes.
And I think we have not checked the mail at all this week. It's been a little wild.
It's been a hectic week.
I will do that tomorrow.
Okay.
So, but we did get some mail that we got when we came back.
Yes.
And it is a postcard of the Minneapolis, it's going to say 35W Bridge, but I'm sure that W is West. So 35 mm-hmm. West Bridge. And what I like about it, the way the picture was taken, the lighting, it's mostly purples and blues. I know the bridge itself is not purple, but the lighting makes it look that way.
But you can live in your purple fantasy.
Exactly. And that makes me happy. So it says, hi, I love the podcast so much. You guys are so silly sometimes. Yes, we are. And I don't know, are you Babby B or Baby B? But either way, BB.
The ink is purple.
The ink is purple and there are hearts. I know. And a little, I would say, duck.
Duckling.
That's what I would say. Drawn.
Or chick.
Or little birdie.
Yeah.
Either way.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
But you know what? Hmm. I think, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, and please, one of our listeners can correct us if we're wrong. I want to say there is a good chance that the light on that bridge possibly is purple.
Well, sure.
Wasn't Prince.
Maybe
wasn't he from?
I don't know. But what I think what I'm saying is I know that the concrete and steel are not purple. I just want to make that clear because I am the type who'd go, "Oh my gosh, a purple bridge!"
I can make purple concrete. Watch me.
Sure you can. I'm pretty sure a bridge in Minneapolis was not made with purple concrete. But either way, we love it, and it was wonderful to come back to after our very cold trip to London. Freaking snowed on us. I'm still a little flabbergasted.
Scarred from that.
I know, because I can't get mad. I was in freaking London, so what? But I'm also a Florida girl.
Yes.
I live in Florida for many reasons, one of which, it will not snow on my head where I live, and it snowed on my head in London. So this was lovely to come home to, and we're recording this bonus section on the Thursday before the episode goes out. So on that Friday, I'll go back to the post office in between doctor's appointments, because that's my life right now. Check the mail and see for next week.
Okay.
But, you know, next week we have to, like, actually have our shit together and have a come up with a topic.
I know.
Because it looks as if, knock on wood, knock on some wood somewhere, everybody, wherever you may be. Don't knock on one of your pens, even though that is wood. our sites may be mostly stable again.
Yes.
So, what happened was... We were getting on a plane to go to London and all the sites crashed, and there are multiple reasons, and we have talked about it. We talked about it over on Instagram Live, which we like doing. I even showed up on camera. I sent out an email to everybody who subscribed to the newsletter as of like March 27th, I think, or March 28th. Mm-hmm. Check your spam if you're a newsletter subscriber but didn't get that.
Spam.
We've been posting on Twitter. I keep using... gifts from like Despicable Me, and there was the box of shame because I feel awful when things do not work. I've been emailing paid members directly with here are links to your things. So we've tried to keep everybody sort of in the know, but some people only listen to the podcast and might go to the site if they want to click on a show notes link, or might in passing go to the site and have been like, what? It's not up, and moved on.
Right.
We are aware of all of those things. We also, I have not checked it as of right now when we're recording, but I know we need to check our RSS feed because there was a problem with the Stitcher podcast app. iTunes seems to be okay. Google Play seems to be okay, but Stitcher might have gotten like lost in a problem. So we need to check on that. If you're still experiencing problems getting all of the episodes on any podcast app, please let us know. We are slowly working through it. So Dom Signs, who is my hero, and I tell him daily that I love him. He has gotten us temporarily stable. We believe it's still like it's still too early for me to be jumping up and down and cheering. It looks like maybe most of our episodes are on Stitcher. We just pulled it up. So we'll see. We'll look at it. We'll check it. Anyway, he's been getting us stable, and it's part hosting company problem, which is sad because I used to love that hosting company.
I know.
I really, really loved that hosting company. And part problem with the actual website, which that is the next thing that he will fix for us, will be the guts of the website.
Right.
And that's where we talked about in the emails and in the Instagram live story, which I really would like to do that more often. That was fun. But that's where we talked about, that's when the features we talked about earlier in the year that we want to add, we're going to do that at that time because adding features to a problematic website means that the new features will then be problematic. So, but it looks like the site is up and working. Now, if you go to the site and you get weird messages, I am so sorry to tell you, you might have to clear your cash and cookies. I apologize now.
Cookies? Someone say cookies?
Not those kind of cookies.
Darn.
I know. So it is working, but that might be what you have to do. So we are aware of the issues. We apologize for any problems. If you have had problems that you, even now you go back to the site and you still can't get to what you need to, please reach out to us. You are not bugging us. Yes, I might cry, but that's not your fault. That's my perfectionist brain going, oh no, but it still has to get fixed. So I would much rather know than not know. But yeah, we're moving forward. And the fact that we felt confident that this episode would actually go out on schedule, because that we were not sure of a few days ago. That's a good sign that we're moving in the right direction.
Yes.
So.
And I had a couple thoughts.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Yeah. I'm not prepared for this.
Well, one, you know, the Instagram Live that we did the other night seemed very well received. I think we need to do that more often.
I agree. I would like to maybe brush my hair next time and maybe even put on a bra.
Nah.
Put on a clean shirt?
Well,
can I put on a clean shirt next time?
All right, yeah.
It was a little sloppy, but the point was to talk to people, not to look cute.
The other thought I had was... you know, I know we have to do an episode next week on a topic.
Right, yes.
But maybe we should do like a bonus episode. We talk about Eroticon and our time in London.
Oh, we can can do that. Oh, and then you just took the pressure off of me for yet another week. I appreciate that. hopefully listeners will not get too annoyed or bored with that, because I know some people are here for the content. But yes, that way
I was talking maybe like a bonus episode.
An extra episode during the week. So what you're talking about is adding pressure to me. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you now. I'm totally with you. That, though, would be kind of cool to do and easy to do, because, yeah, we just turn on the mic and start talking about Eroticon, which was an amazing experience. I have stories to tell. You have stories to tell. Yep. One story I want to tell right now. So I think I said it on a show months ago that I had to promise you that after this Eroticon that I would not commit to 2019 until at least October. I would commit to nothing. I would say, true. I don't know. I can't decide. I can't even think about it until October. Okay. And at the time, the agreement was it would most likely just be me going back to London if I even got to go for 2019, right? Okay. Yeah. We had been in London. We hadn't even gone to Eroticon yet, y'all. We got there Thursday morning. We didn't see anybody from Eroticon until Friday afternoon. So in that 24 hours, by the time we set foot in London and saw our first Eroticon person, we had gone from saying maybe next year and you, meaning me, to next year we. Eroticon hadn't even started yet, y'all. And he was already like, yep, I'm totally coming back to this place. It's so happening. But the agreement is still in place. Yes. We're going to make no commitments until October, which means I cannot say, I want to talk about this thing until October. Hopefully that won't be too late. I think if it happens at all next year, it only happens if it's both of us. But we have friends in the UK who are got their fingers and toes crossed that we can make it happen.
True.
So that is helpful and useful as well.
Yes, it is.
So yeah, that's the first. That's a little taste of how quickly things changed.
Okay, yeah.
Take the man across the Atlantic Ocean, and he's ready to come back. So we're good. Oh, just because some people are interested, because I've been doing a little whining on my personal Twitter. I've been going to doctor's appointments left and right.
Yes.
I am on medication for the pain. The pain got, my neck and shoulder stuff got really bad during London because I was much more active than I'm used to. And I sat on a plane for multiple hours twice. So then my doctor put me on some good medication that is making me loopy. I cannot blame that, however, on the first recording of the intro. That was just Eroticon making me loopy. And I now have physical therapy, and that will be 2 times a week for at least a few weeks, and then it'll probably go down. And I have an MRI Friday morning after this episode goes live. And I have an appointment with a spine specialist. And all in the name of, I'm really tired of feeling like crap, so...
About time.
I know. It's amazing what happens when you actually like pay attention to your health for a few minutes. I recognize how fortunate we are that we have decent health insurance. Mm-hmm. We pay kind of out the ass every month, but then
that's my fault.
Well, you know, I can't make you go back in time and become younger. So, but it gives us a decent copay, and I've got mostly decent coverage, and I can mostly go to the doctor I want to go to. So, It's working out fine, and I recognize how good we have it that we can even do that. So it doesn't make any sense to have it and not use it and sit around being miserable. So I know there are people who are like, no, I'd kill to be able to go to a doctor and pay such a small copay. So I'm using it because I can't do all the things I want to do if I don't take care of myself. And also, we have had to drastically minimize our kinky fuckery.
Yes.
Because I cannot do all the things that I normally would do.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. So I am doing that as well.
Get better so I can whip your ass.
Okay. and also, you just bought a new tool, Mr. Woodman.
Yeah.
So that you can make more hitty-thutty things as well as... You want to tease them a little bit? Tell them a little bit?
Go ahead.
Sex toys, y'all.
Yes.
Wooden sex toys. It's gonna happen. I don't know if it'll happen this year, but it's totally gonna happen.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I've got ideas, folks.
Take the man to London for one weekend of sex blogging people and putting him around all the sex people, and he just came away with ideas.
Ooh.
I know. So, yeah, I think if we can if we can put in a bonus episode in the middle between this episode and next Friday's episode, if we can fit that in, I'm happy to do it.
Yeah.
So just so we can talk about Erotica.
Right.
Because that's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
So, and then that way, if people are like, I am not here for that bullshit, they can skip it.
They don't have
to
listen to it. Yeah. If they want to, they can. Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm good with that. Yeah.
Yeah. See?
I know.
I have good ideas once in a while.
You have lots of good ideas.
All right.
I just like having the ideas myself.
That's I know you do. Got to share a little bit, you know, baby girl.
I guess. Okay. Well, this feels very weird to have recorded a bonus section separate and apart from the original conversation.
Does.
I hope that our just delight in Amy comes right on through.
I know.
She is wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
We both adore her in our own way and on our own level. And we had a great time and got to spend a good time with her.
Yes.
That Saturday night and then Sunday night as well.
Sunday night as well.
So that was cool.
Yeah. Had some great conversation with her on and off.
Mm-hmm.
Microphone.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, anytime I can share a Starbucks and an Uber and a mic with somebody who is known as Coffee and Kink.
Right.
I'm a pretty happy person.
There you go.
But yeah, there'll be links to her all over the place in the show notes page. So feel free to check her out. God, especially that guest blog post because that was, and then there will be another one since we're, you know, I mentioned there'd be some, the content warning at the top. There will be a link to a guest post that she wrote for my site about abuse and BDSM. So, if you're up for it, you know, feel free to check that out too. But if not, no worries, we get it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, we good?
Well, vaguely. I think it's time for us to go get coffee now.
Yes.
Yay!
All right, folks.
Okay.
We love you.
We love you. We're glad to be back. We do miss London. Well, we miss the people. I do not miss the snow.
No.
I don't miss people looking at me weird. The servers kept sighing at me because I didn't know how to order properly.
I left New York as soon as I was legal age to get away from that stuff.
But you were pretty much happy to maybe stay in London a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Well, after it stopped snowing.
Well, you know, there is that. Anyway, we will be back another week. We love you guys. We've missed you. We're happy that, knock on wood, everything seems to be, we'll get this episode out on time. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.